broadcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, June 24th, 2009, the only June 24th, 2009 in history, and the only spring and summer pledge drive 2009 ever as well. Welcome in on this Wednesday night. Glad to have you along for the ride. We are going to endeavor over the next 21 days to raise the operating budget for the Gospel Revolution of $12,500. That is our goal. We're going to talk all about it and about premiums that you can get with a gift and how you can help us along here. But before we go any further, let's please welcome in from a very balmy Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
I hear it's balmy, but I haven't been out the door today.
I saw it was 101.
I watched the weather this morning, and they said it was 100, and either 100 or 101. And they said with a heat index of 115, I thought, what is it that I really need to do today? And so far, most of those things have been inside.
Well, this is an inside endeavor as well, and we don't want to keep it too inside. We wanted you guys to get involved tonight. The pledge drive, we come to you each quarter. We're actually combining the spring and summer pledge drive this time around, and we're asking you to get involved with us by giving us a call at 1-800-436-3260 to let us know what kind of pledge you'd like to make over these next months. We're looking for you to email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's all you have to do is email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you will do, especially if you're listening to the archives. But if you're listening live, we'd love to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. All webcasts are always looking for the first caller to get us off to a good start, but especially the pledge drives. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, but our main purpose, besides sharing the gospel of God's grace and God's peace, is to raise the operating budget for the Gospel Revolution, not-for-profit effort out of Houston, Texas, where Michael is located. And for gifts of $100 or more, Michael, why don't you tell the folks what they will receive? This is kind of a special deal.
This is extremely special. My recent trip to Canada, my first stop was Calgary, Alberta, where we recorded the brand new series, and for sure to make its mark on the world. The series entitled In the Twinkling of an Eye, A View of History. Yep, In the Twinkling of an Eye, A View of History. That, Glenn, is a 6-CD series that we are offering to anyone who contributes $100 or more to this effort. And we will send you absolutely free of charge, including postage, the brand new series, which has not been released to anyone yet, and will be released first and foremost and only to those who contribute to this pledge drive, $100 or more, the brand new series, In the Twinkling of an Eye, A View of History, which was just recently recorded the very last week in May in Canada. And we have some folks there that have already ordered the series while they sat and listened to it. But for the rest of you, this is available during this webcast. And then after that will not be available until next month.
And, of course, your gifts are tax-deductible in the United States. you have to do is give us a call. If you're listening live and it's Wednesday night, a little after 9 o'clock Eastern time in the United States, is give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. Who will be the first to call? 1-800-436-3260. And that's a one-time gift, or they can spread out that payment over the course of 12 months as well, right, Michael?
That's exactly right. And what a deal. It is, you know, even if it was just for the series, it would be well worth $100. This is one of those once-in-a-lifetime series, as far as the gospel is concerned and my life is concerned, that comes out that makes a very strong proclamation and puts a another one of those biblical phrases in its context in a way that that many may not have ever heard. But to place that statement in the twinkling of an eye in its context, we had to subtitle the series A View of History, because the term in the twinkling of an eye has been taught by Hal Lindsey, and oh my gosh, why do I mention one name? Because the list goes on from there throughout the last 2,000 years of history of evangelical Christianity, and that have forecast this as a future event. And it is very, very, very important, Glenn, that people know that this is a historical event, not a future event to take place. Because to place the term in the twinkling of an eye in the future is to place the redemption that Jesus brought to this planet in the future. And I, for one, am very glad to let people know that the redemption that Jesus Christ brought to this earth is not a future event. It is a historical event. It has already occurred. In fact, as Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Where does the phrase "the twinkling in the twinkling of an eye" appear?
It appears only one time in the Bible that we know of, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul links it with, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, the last trump is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, among other places, but the big stumbling point for most folks is the last trump at, and they automatically include this term in the twinkling of an eye in 1 Thessalonians. However, it is not there. It doesn't appear there. It appears in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in which Paul goes into an extended statement about the twinkling of an eye and the resurrection of the dead, and he goes into an extended statement about the last trump, and makes it very, very clear that that would take place when the prophet was fulfilled, which said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin." And these are the statements that, and the strength of sin is the law. This is the statement that Paul said would fulfill the prophets. And, so, the strength of the law and the sting of death, and then of course it goes on to say that the one who would give us this victory was Jesus Christ, who has already given us this victory. So the term in the twinkling of an eye, and the term, the last trump, is a historical term, not a future event, as has been taught by evangelical Christianity. Now, you know what? I really feel like, Glenn, we should be telling people for $1,000, for $1,000, one time or spread out over a year, you would get this series entitled In the Twinkling of an Eye. Because this is very, very valuable information that is put in context and in its true historical perspective, not some unfulfilled prophecy. Because if there is an unfulfilled prophecy, then Jesus Christ is not yet Lord. And this is what comes out in this series, is this profound look at this statement, such a simple statement, but such a profound statement in the twinkling of an eye. And as the series itself is subtitled, A View of History, this is not a future event. It is a historical event.
Well, that series can be yours for a gift of $100 or more to the Spring Summer's Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. Waiting to take our first call tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Somebody get us off the schneid right away so we can get the ball rolling, get the momentum going in the right direction. For a gift of $100 or more, just give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your call, put you right on the air, and you can make your pledge and ask Michael questions and converse with us. We'd love to hear from you. Also taking your questions, whether you're listening live or on the archive, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And regardless of whether you are listening live or on the archive, let us know what you'll do to help us along financially by emailing us at that address as well, because that way we can count that towards our goal of $12,500 over the next 21 days to pay for the bills of the Gospel Revolution. And we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Michael, you're traveling quite a bit. You were just in Indiana for a series of meetings with the folks that love the gospel. How'd that go?
Well, that was an amazing trip, really, and I got to be there with Grant Miller and his family and all of his German Baptist converts, and these folks are very intuitive to the scriptures, and so I was able to relate to them very well. They like to know what the scriptures say, and instead of what somebody's opinion is. And you know, I've for years, Glenn, I really have often said that I am not sure that I deserve the title of teacher, that sometimes I feel like I'm just a reader instead of a teacher, and instead just reading the teachings of the teacher. Because that really is the crux of everything that I do, as far as, quote, my teaching, is simply to bring that which has already been taught into context. And, you know, once I learn more than Paul knew, once I learn more than what the scriptures teach, I'll let people know that I'm now truly a teacher. But until that time, I honestly, as I said, have for many years told people that I almost feel hesitant to take the title of teacher, because really all we're doing is reading in context in most all of these situations.
But in some ways, folks, aren't we a little bit more advantaged than Paul and some of the other writers of the New Covenant commentaries, just because we know that we're 2,000 years into this thing?
Yeah, well, I think everyone who reads the Bible is a little bit more advantaged even than Paul, because we get to view the debate that Paul had with Peter, James, and John. The sad thing is that the church has taught the entire population of the world that Scripture is the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which is one of the most incredible things that has been propagated against the population of this planet. And I did say against, not for, but against this planet, because if you believe that the scriptures are everything from Genesis to Revelation, then you don't get the privilege of reading the New Testament, especially the letters, in the light of the debate between Peter, James, and John and against Paul, and Paul against Peter, James, and John, because it is most definitely there. And the book of Acts makes that very, very, very clear in two separate places where that the established church, which you've got to realize that Paul was not a part of the established church. And that just blows people's minds. But Paul was not a part of the established church of Jerusalem. And Peter, James, and John were. And when they heard what Paul was teaching out on his mission of sharing the gospel that Jesus himself had shared with him out in the desert, according to Paul's statements, that they called him in when they found out that he was teaching the Gentiles that they didn't have to keep the law. In the book of Acts, they called him in, and they debated that issue. And it was the disciples, Peter, James, and John, that gave in and said, okay, we cannot dispute what you're saying, but we also recommend that that the Gentiles at least keep these four laws. And so four laws were put down for the Gentiles, and they said that the reason that we think that the Gentiles should keep these four laws is virtually because there's a synagogue on every corner. And so it's only for self-preservation that they recommended that those that believed in Jesus or those that were Gentiles who were of the persuasion that Jesus was the Christ, that they should keep these four laws, which four of them were strictly laws pertaining to had nothing to do with morality. It had to do with sacrifices and what a person was eating. And only one of them had anything to do with the Ten Commandments, and that was adultery. Even the reason that they gave for it wasn't because this is the commandment of God. They said this is because there's a synagogue on every corner. So they knew that no one would accept them if they didn't at least keep these four laws, which nobody was keeping anyway, especially the one on adultery. If you read the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus interpreted adultery not only as if you are committing adultery, but if you've even looked at somebody with the thought in your mind, you are an adulterer. So nobody was keeping those four commandments, especially when they attached the one about adultery. And then the second time, Glenn, was when they heard that Paul was out teaching that the Jews did not have to circumcise their children. It was not the Jews that were outraged. It was Peter, James, and John. Well, maybe the rest of the Jewish population also. But Peter, James, and John, the disciples of Jesus, were outraged and called him in again, did not permit him to speak in this particular discussion, where that they simply ordered him to go through the purification rites, which started with the shaving of his head and would end with an animal sacrifice to prove that the things which he said was not true. Direct quote from the book of Acts, to prove that the things which Paul had said were not true. For whatever reason, people have debated for years why Paul went along with it, but nonetheless, even though Paul did not agree with it, he went along with it. And then the book of Acts records that at the moment when they would have sacrificed an animal for his own purification, that at that moment that the Jews dragged him out of the temple. And I just, you know, in my mind's eye, I just see Paul just, you know, thanking the Lord that the Jews came to his rescue and dragged him out of this horrible situation, which he knew that Christ had fulfilled in the ritual of purification. Because Paul also said in the book of Acts that the reason he was in trouble was because he preached that men's hearts were purified by faith. and by faith alone.
And not that of ourselves.
Absolutely.
But the faith of the Son of God.
Yeah. So,
not the faith
in
the Son of God.
Absolutely. And that opens up a whole new discussion, and that is the terminology of faith in God or the faith of God. And, Paul taught in Romans, Paul taught very clearly that that we were not to trust, and in fact the teachings that we were supposed to be done away with and we were supposed to put behind us, one of them was faith toward God, was one of the subjects that we were supposed to cease teaching on, is having faith toward God. And also another one was the other subject that we were supposed to stop teaching on, we were supposed to stop teaching on, was eternal judgment. And these are absolutely incredible statements that are made by Paul. These are not marginal statements by any means, but were absolutely profound for his time. But even more remarkable, Glenn, they are profound for our time because they undermine the entire foundation of what evangelical Christianity has been founded on.
Right, and it's been founded on a basis that has allowed for tens of thousands of denominations to be founded. And I want to talk a little bit about the so-called inerrancy of the Bible and the consistency of the New Testament for sure. But I want to pause just for a second to remind everybody that you're listening to Glenn Klein Online. This is the Gospel Revolution Spring and Summer Pledge Drive. We need to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260 for your pledges. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live, we need to get your phone calls tonight. If you're listening on the archive, we know a lot of folks do, please email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you'll do towards our goal of $12,500. We need a little over $4,000 over the next week to meet our goal for the first 7 days, and for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or a gift over 12 months, you will receive free and postage paid. The 6-CD series that Michael just recorded in Calgary, Canada, Calgary, Alberta, in the twinkling of an eye, and you do not want to miss this opportunity. 1-800-436-3260. Even if you can't give $100, everything counts. We have a gentleman, Michael, that's been giving periodically, almost on a weekly basis, if not more than once a week, amounts like $5.60, $12.10, and very consistent with that. If everybody would do something like that, we would never have to have a pledge drive.
Oh my gosh, yes. That is my friend David Johnson. In fact, his brother has organized a Gospel Revolution conference for us in Anchorage, Alaska, which I'll be flying up there, and the exact dates, I fly up on the 2nd, and then the conference is soon after that. We'll be letting everyone know, just in case Sarah Palin wants to show up for the conference. And which, there's just nothing else to do in Alaska from what I'm told, unless it's in the wintertime and you have plenty of things to do. We have that planned, but David is the brother of Scott Johnson, and these two guys were teenagers and are no more than 20 years old when I first began to share the gospel over 15 years ago in northern Illinois. And there was a church there, there were several churches in northern Illinois that used to have me in on a regular basis. And one by one, I got rejected by them. And then the smaller churches that had been rejected and started actually because they got rejected by the big church in Rockford, Illinois, still had me in almost as a defiance to the big church until the little churches also rejected having me in. But not until we'd already done some damage to the converts. And one of those families was the Johnson family, of which David is one of those contributors, who sends in small amounts. You know, it may be 15, it may be 20, it may be 5, but he is consistent and does it as often as comes to mind and as often as he is capable of doing. And that is a real, real a template, really, for what it takes to cause this effort to be able to go forward. And, you know, Glenn, I have lost all shame, and I admit it took some time to lose all shame to ask people to support this Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. Because as I look around, and let me make this very clear. Mike Williams Ministry is not a ministry that tries to reach out to feed the poor. I would love to, and when I run into them, I'll give them money if I have it. This is not a ministry that tries to reach out to heal the sick. And if I run into the sick, and if it is within my power to see them to health, I will certainly do it. But that is not what Mike Williams Ministry is all about. Mike Williams Ministry is not about sending missionaries to foreign fields, at least at this time, not yet. But Mike Williams Ministry is a teaching ministry. We do not have a counseling service. I do not extend services to counsel people through their difficult times. My counsel may be correct and it may be incorrect, but as a friend, I'm willing to extend a hand to anybody who needs it. But the ministry of Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution is a teaching ministry. We specialize in the art of teaching and to teach within context. And I think the thing that deserves the respect and the support of people who are listening is that we at least know what the scriptures are. Now, whether or not we define what the scriptures say correctly is up to those who listen and who study the scriptures also. But you will not find another ministry that I know of who agrees with Jesus and Peter, James, and John, that the scriptures are the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, not even the entire New Testament, but the law, the first five books of the New Testament, called the Pentateuch, the law, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, skips over several books there, and then the prophets, that begin and go through several of the prophets of the New Testament, or the prophets of the Old Testament, who foretold of this incredible gospel that we are preaching tonight and bring to the folks tonight, and we're even offering this new series in the twinkling of an eye, taught by Paul, not Mike Williams, in the twinkling of an eye, was taught by Paul, and we simply take a look at his teaching and see that his teaching was reflective of what the scriptures foretold that would take place at the cross, not 2,000 years or more after the cross, but took place at the cross. And what an amazing thing has taken place. As you can tell, I get caught up in the gospel.
Well, it's good news.
It's good news.
And there's so much bad news out there, which we're going to get into, and in how the gospel shines a light on so some of the things in the news right now, but it's amazing to me that ministers of Christianity with a straight face can say the New Testament has no contradictions in it.
Well, that is for sure.
And that there's no disagreement between the writers of the New Testament. I mean, it's just, I used to parrot that myself because that's what I was taught, but then I had to honestly conclude that no, even Paul didn't agree with himself. Here you talk about a guy going through purification rites. This is a guy who taught against the circumcision and had Timothy circumcised. And so, I mean, you have even Paul disagreeing with himself.
He absolutely did. And, I think we have a caller online, one of our friends, who is so anxious to get this series that I think he's there to talk to us right now. Sean, do we have Tom online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's
up? Tom Tonsky calling from Ohio. How are you tonight, Tom?
I'm doing just great.
The Ohio gang.
How are you doing? Huh?
The Ohio gang.
Yeah, the gang of three. I'm the only one that's vocal, though. I just want to tell you how much fun it is to share this gospel with other people.
Tell us about it, Tom.
Oh, I'm just telling you, it's fun. I just get a kick out of it. I get a kick out of rocking their world. I really do, you know. I was taking a guy up to the airport this week, and we got to talking. And I just like it. I like messing with people. You know, sometimes. And you can really mess with people with this gospel. And the
thing
is, go ahead.
I was going to say, what was this gentleman's background, and how were you able to mess with him?
Oh, just regular Christian, you know, like everybody else. You know,
regular old
like
Christian.
Everybody else.
Just regular old Jesus died, and if you don't believe in him, you go to hell, you know. And we just talked for about an hour. And the funniest thing is they can't argue with you in a lot of respects. You know, like my favorite thing is I like to really let people know if somebody asks me why I don't go, because I was pretty active in church, Sunday school teacher, youth group, you know, all that. The same as everybody leaving the church, you know. But they'll run into somebody and they'll say, well, how come you don't go to church anymore? And I said, well, the truth, I no longer believe that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a catastrophic failure. I happen to believe that he redeemed everybody, and they just... They don't know what to say about it, you know. And then you can share. But anyhow, I want this new series
share.
That you... I got to get this new series that you're offering.
Well, Tom, you really do. And are you ready to put up the $100?
No. I'm ready to bump my $50 a month thing up to $100 a month.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's even better.
Is that all right? You don't mind if I do that, do you?
I don't mind at all, and I'm sure Glenn
okay.
will not be perturbed either.
We're going to get you up here pretty soon, one of these days. I'm working on it.
Well, you know, it's really easy to do. I just went up to Indiana.
I know. I saw that, and I probably could have drove out there, but you know what? Either I wasn't paying attention, or it got on the website late.
Well, it could have been either, but the
yeah.
fact of it is it was 2 hours north of Indianapolis. So,
yeah, I probably could have gotten out there in about, maybe 3 hours. I'd have drove out there.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Oh, that's right. Ohio
I
is
live in
east. Kansas. It depends
yeah, but
on
I live
are.
On the yeah, I live on the east end of
oh,
Ohio.
Okay.
But Indiana's skinny. It's only 100 miles wide.
Indiana's skinny.
yeah. But anyhow, yeah,
well, Tom,
it is.
You,
I it's so much fun to share this gospel. It just is. I got to tell you, you know, because, like, you know, nobody shares the gospel. You're embarrassed to share the gospel.
It's crappy.
Yeah. I hate to say it, you know, but it is, you know.
Yeah, the gospel of evangelical Christianity, you're exactly right.
And that's why nobody shares it.
Yeah, and nobody shares it. You're exactly right. I remember when we did back in the 70s, and we rocked everybody's world because we were willing to go to the streets and to the beaches of this nation and tell them either turn or burn, and we did it. But, boy, that sure fizzled out pretty quick in the following generations. But I really, really like the fact that what you're saying is that this gospel is just fun to share. It really is, Tom. And isn't it amazing that you can share it and not get nervous, not be concerned about somebody disagreeing with you? It's all right if they disagree. It's all right. It's all okay, because the stance that you take is so inclusive that there's absolutely nothing to get nervous about.
Exactly. And like I'm saying, I always come from the first pitch I always throw is the first pitch I always throw is the fact that Christianity, in order to be a doctrinally correct Christian, you have to believe that Jesus failed in his mission to redeem the world from sin. I mean, that's the foundation of one of the foundations of your belief. You know, I've been reading reviews about this. I haven't read the book, but there's a new book out by this guy named George Barna. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Well, he's a real well-known church analyst. He does studies on the church, and he came out with
a new book. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he came out with a new book this last year called Revolution. And in this book, he came up with two major conclusions. And the first of major conclusion, and this is really rocking the evangelical world, the first major conclusion he came up with was, and this is all supported by data, and he's a, you know, one of them pollster kind of guys. He said the first major conclusion he came to was that Christians in America are leaving the organized church in massive numbers.
That's true.
Okay, and the people that are leaving aren't the nominal just go on Sunday people. They're people who are like everybody, teachers,
the Bible believing people.
Exactly. And the second bit of information data he compiled was this last 30 years of this new contemporary church, the mega church, the contemporary worship, and all this new American style of worship has done absolutely, it has been a total failure to advance a spirituality of any kind in the average Christian.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with him more. And, you know, he is the same prognosticator that the evangelicals have depended on 30 years prior to this book.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, he's the top dog when it comes to gathering this kind of information. But I was thinking, one of the things he never mentions is, I believe, and I'm sure you believe too, that people, they don't know how to voice it, they don't know how to, maybe don't even know what it is, but it, deep down inside, the gospel, they're looking for a Jesus who really does do what he came to do. And they're tired of believing in something that, if you really look at it, I'll give you another little thing. Let me tell you, I don't mind tying the whole thing up, but I was goofing around on the internet the other night, and I come up on a webpage, and the title of the webpage was God Does Not Love Everybody. Okay?
Wow.
So I'm reading it, and the first thing this guy cites is the scripture where he says, God says, God loved Jacob but hated Esau.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know how these guys are. But anyhow, I'm reading and reading and reading and reading, and it was real Calvinistic, all about, you know, the chosen and how God... But that, I thought to myself, you know, if you think about it and you read the Bible the way we've been taught to read it, it's much easier to prove that God doesn't love everybody than it is to prove that he does love everybody.
That is correct.
If you think about it, you know, because... I mean, that's what we've been taught all our lives.
If you don't read it in context.
Yeah, it's schizophrenic. I mean, you're
absolutely
telling somebody God loves you, but, you know, it's like the good news / worst news imaginable.
Yep.
Right? But anyhow, it's always good. I listen to you every day. I do. I listen to you every day. I'm a mailman. I spend 2 hours in the office. I put my headset on. What did I listen to today? The Empowerment of Freedom.
Right.
And I loved it. You know, I loved that little thing. What's that guy's name from Canada? Let me think. Wade Brewer.
Wade Brewer, yeah.
Yeah, and he did that little thing about Jacob and, not Jacob and Esau, the other two, Isaac and Ishmael.
Yes.
Oh, it was awesome. You know, but I do. I listen to it every day. I let it settle into me. And the funny thing of it is, really, most of the time, you really don't teach me nothing.
No, that's true.
You just put words, like, to something that's inside of me that, like, I already knew.
Absolutely.
I know that sounds kind of goofy, but it's the truth. It's more of like a revelation.
No, Tom, that's exactly it, and your words are music to my ears, because I believe that the Holy Ghost is the great teacher, and for people's brains, see, I believe the Holy Ghost has taught this to all human beings already. He has taught it to their hearts. He taught it to your heart before I came along and taught it to your brain.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. And when your brain heard it, it related to your heart.
Hey, that's exactly right. That's just what I was trying to say.
Yes.
That's right.
So what you're saying is, and because, see, the strength of what I have to teach is wrapped up for me in this. I believe that everybody already knows what I am saying. They already intuitively know it as truth. And that is what gives me the strength to teach this gospel in the form that I teach it, and in the joy that I teach it, and in the strength that I teach it.
There it is. I agree with that. But anyway, it's fun, and I enjoy it. I share the gospel more. I just love it. It's just wonderful. And I know I can be... not brash. I just like that. Like I said, especially with evangelical people, fundamental evangelical people, it's just so much fun to just rock their world with the truth. You know, cause there ain't nothing, they're just defenseless. They ain't nothing they can say. You know, and it's cool.
It is.
Okay,
cool.
Well,
Tom, do me a favor.
Huh?
Go to GospelRevolution.com,
yeah,
and then just click on donations and make your $50 a month increase there.
No, because I'm getting it through PayPal.
Yeah, that'll increase, you know, by the $50.
Okay, so I can just go on there and increase it.
You sure can.
Do another $50
okay.
a month, and then but email me your address at home to webcast@GospelRevolution.com, the one you just emailed to.
Okay.
That was Sean's email. If you could email me your address at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, your home mailing address, and we'll make sure that you get your teaching series right away.
Absolutely. It's ready to go out, Tom. It's waiting for you.
It's a TV series.
Teaching series.
Oh, I thought you said it was TV on television.
Well, maybe you're prophesying now, Tom.
Okay. All right. Well, I rang it up right now, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, but email me your address, though, too, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Good start. Here's Tom Tomsky from Ohio, everybody. Well, that's a good way to get us off the schneid.
$600 off the schneid.
$600 into it. And now that phone line is available for you at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. You don't have to do $50 a month, although we'll take it. A gift of $100 or more in a one-time gift or totally from monthly giving will get you that aforementioned CD series in a twinkling of an eye. What's the subtitle?
A View of History.
A View of History. In the twinkling of an eye, A View of History, which is the 6-CD series that Michael just taught in Calgary. And that will help us raise the operating budget for the Gospel Revolution for the next 3 months. Our goal for the next 21 days is to raise $12,500, obviously in excess of $4,000 over this week. If you're listening on the archive, all you got to do is go to thegospelrevolution.com, click on donations, make your donation there, and then email us what you did and your home address so we can send out the teaching series. Just email us what you did, and of course we can count it that way by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. It all counts. If you can't do $100, if you do $5, it's more than we're more than grateful for that. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So that's great. That gets us off to a good start with a $600 gift over the next 12 months from Tom Tomsky of Ohio, and he's excited, and it's something to be excited about.
He is excited. He is excited, and Tom has been extremely faithful, and his $50, it comes in every month. And, you know, Glenn, we've had some folks that have made commitments in past pledges that have dropped off giving their pledges, and which is quite all right, but we would really appreciate it if they just let us know that that is what they're going to do. We don't want anyone to be ashamed. And for somebody, you know, and I just know what people are going through who have dropped their commitment without calling or emailing to say what their intent is, that they've run upon, you know, difficult times or whatever. The last thing in the world that we want to create is any pocket of shame for anybody or humiliation at all. But there have been people who have dropped off their commitment for whatever reason. It's whatever the reason is their reason. But we do need some people to step up to the plate and to fill in the gap for some folks who have dropped off. Now, I want everybody to notice that this spring and summer pledge drive is only $12,500. Our last pledge drive was $25,000, which was met, and it was met with matching funds. So the reason this is $12,500 is because, Glenn, we truly are just asking for what our operating expense is going to be. Our operating expense has grown because we're able to do more. We're going out more, and it had gone up to $25,000 up until the last pledge drive that we did, which was in the winter pledge drive. But now we are doing a spring and summer for only $12,500. It sounds like I'm offering you a bargain, and especially the fact that it's only $12,500, but also with the fact that we're not offering just a single CD from a series that we've done in the past. This is hot off the press.
Hot off the press right now, Michael. Stepping up to the plate is our good friend Richard Mull from Southern California for a C note.
Of course.
Of course. And Richard, as always, thank you for your generosity and your support, and there is no stronger supporter of the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries than
not on
this
planet.
Southern California.
Absolutely.
And
we are grateful.
You'll be receiving that CD series in a twinkling of an eye, a view of history. And you can do that, too. We would like to hear from you. If it's about 10 minutes until the top of the hour on Wednesday night. If you're listening to us live, we'd love to hear from you, whether it be a gift or a question. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. It's up to $700 now. And we want to continue that momentum going forward this evening. 1-800-436-3260. And if you're listening on the archive, just go to the website at gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, do your best on there, and then just let us know at the email address at webcast@gospelrevolution.com what you did so we can include it towards the goal and also so that we can get you your CD series.
Absolutely.
Well, there's no better example of why the gospel is needed in the media than what's going on in the world today, in a large-scale way in Iran right now, and in a micro way, what we saw unfold today in South Carolina with Governor Mark Sanford, Michael. I mean, in both cases, it's religion gone amok, and I want to talk about both situations because they definitely have a lot to do with the influence societally of religion and legalism on society and on individual people's lives. But I want to take a look at first at the Mark Sanford example. Here's the governor of the state of South Carolina, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't followed the news, and if you're from another country, Mark Sanford, the governor of the state of South Carolina, disappeared about a week ago. This is the executive of a state, of the United States of America, and he took off and went to Argentina, as it turned out. Initially, his staff said that he had gone to the Appalachian hiking trail, and of course, and he was out of contact with his family, and his wife says she didn't even care if she heard from him. And this ended up not being true. He was in Argentina as he was having an affair with a woman from Argentina that had been ongoing for about a year. And as he told the story that they had met about 8 years ago, and it started a quote-unquote innocent relationship. And it had turned not so innocent as far as religion would say. And so today he had a press conference and apologized to everybody under the sun, and then announced that he had been unfaithful to his wife. At the same time, Michael, he invoked Christian leadership and the pastoral counseling that he had. That's when he broke down. That's when he was led to tears, when he talked about the Bible study that he had been a part of in Washington, D.C., the Congressional Bible study, and the pastor that had been ministering to him. But apparently his wife found out about this about 5 months ago. And Mark Sanford is a Republican governor who had been the keynote speaker in 2006 at the Values Conference promoting traditional family values. This story is getting old at this point, but the thing that he specifically said that was so fascinating, I thought, was he invoked the law of God in his apology in this press conference today, Michael. And he said that the law of God was not a stringent rule and set of rules of do's and don'ts, but that the law of God had been given to protect people from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
What a schizophrenic statement to say. I mean, I was You know, I really, really, my heart goes out to he and his family and those four boys, his wife, and the state of South Carolina, everybody affected by this. It is heartbreaking to see what is happening. But it's happening all because the resolve to it is not the statement he said, but the reason behind it is the statement that he said. The schizophrenic statement to say that the law of God is not a suggestion. He said that the law of God is God's plan to protect us from ourselves. Now, you know, I can think of a whole lot of things that I need protection from, but thank God that one of them is not me. That I don't need protection from myself. I remember those days, dear Governor, when I needed protection from myself. And he continued to talk on after that, Glenn, of trying to attain the perfection of his heart.
Yes.
And to reach this goal of a perfect heart. Oh, my God, I wanted to scream through the screen if I could have reached and grabbed him out of that whole situation and just brought him into my living room. I would have wanted to tell him, Governor, you have a perfect heart. And no, God's law was not given to protect you from yourself. It was given to lead you to yourself. And you should be there. You are there. You're not striving to find a place that you've not arrived to. And this just breaks my heart to see people in this condition. But it also, when I was listening to him, it was like I was hoping that the whole planet would hear what he was saying, this convoluted, nondescript, rambling, schizophrenic that was standing there in front of everybody who had only one thing to say, but took him, for God's sake, how long does anybody, I don't even know how long it took him to actually say it, to come out and say was that he cheated on his wife.
Yeah, it took him about 7 or 8 minutes after he apologized to everybody. We didn't know what he was apologizing for.
Of a news conference. He had the attention of the entire United States, if not most of the news agencies around the world, and it took him 7 minutes to get to it, as to what he was talking about. And I'd listened to the news. I mean, I've got the news on all the time. I'm usually on my computer with the news on in the background. And never had anyone brought up the possibility that he was in an affair at that point until he actually said it. And but you know, this is the thing, Glenn, and this is why that I have the audacity to ask for people's support in this gospel. This poor governor of the state of South Carolina needs the gospel. His family needs the gospel. His sons need the gospel. Those, and excuse my language, but the freaks who were counseling him for the 5 months after this came to light and trying to figure out how he walks this line between telling the truth and keeping his frickin' job. And what does he do? As you can tell, it was impacting to me, because this is undoubtedly, like you said, in the microcosm of it, one of the greatest demonstrations of why this gospel is so vitally important. And then on the big picture, we have the subject of Iran, a totalitarian government, not just a totalitarian government, a government run by religious folks.
Well, before we get into Iran, I have to point out that Mark Sanford, as Senator John Ensign from Nevada last week, a Republican senator from the state of Nevada, came out and admitted to having an affair with his campaign manager's wife.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party has a different standard than the Democrat Party. country to these things, because the Democrats are not in bed with evangelical Christianity the way the Republicans are.
Exactly.
And
which has destroyed the Republican Party.
It has destroyed the Republican Party, and we're seeing it before our eyes, and it is all because they have been in cahoots with evangelicalism for the better part of 30 years.
Absolutely.
And so the Democrats have more grace, if you will, when it comes to these issues, and it's not a done deal if you commit infidelity, see Bill Clinton, you're a Democrat. But if you're a Republican and you commit infidelity, at least for a while, you are out of sorts, and you really have a hard time coming back. Newt Gingrich is trying to make a comeback after he had an affair and had to give up his post as leader of the House of Representatives in the late 90s. But who you decide to partner up with makes a difference. And the fact that the Republicans are in bed with evangelicalism gives them no latitude in these matters. And the thing is that you could tell from both the reporting and from Sanford himself that he's probably in love with this woman. And it is the legalism that he's been under that drove him right into her arms.
Absolutely. And that is the tragedy of this story, is the tragedy behind the story. And it really is just an amazing situation. And now, you know, here we have a Republican, and I really want to say this very strongly, that, you know, I do not take a political stand one way or the other in the affairs of this nation as far as politics is concerned. But I will make a stand against religion all day long, because that is part of preaching the gospel. The destruction of the Republican Party, which lays in waste today, and only one in four Americans is even willing to admit that they are a Republican, is the destruction of it is because of its joining itself to evangelical Christianity. And I will tell you that it's not only the Republican Party that is destroyed by its joining itself to evangelical Christianity, it's every individual and family within my voice, including the governor of South Carolina. Evangelical Christianity has not only destroyed the Republican Party, it has destroyed his family. It has destroyed his family while he turns and weeps, not over his wife, not over his children. He weeps over those who counseled him, and he's disappointed them.
Yep.
In this process. And the destruction, and Glenn, I am sorry I apologize to anyone who thinks that I am over the top tonight, but I'm telling you, this is such an urgent issue that I can't hold my voice back. I cannot.
Well, you said something to me this afternoon after the press conference that Mark Sanford is actually in a perfect position right now. And he's going to be sucked back in to legalism and condemnation.
Yeah.
He's at the end of himself.
Yes.
That's why the law was given.
Yes. And thank God, at the end of himself, he can find himself. He's found his perfect heart now. He's found it. But will he embrace that perfect heart? Most likely not, because of his counsel that he's turned to. And I'm telling you, I'm having a hard time controlling my tongue right now in language of insults toward these people that he calls his counselors, that have set by and engineered his final days of his public life as a public servant to his state and to this country.
Well, we
whether
often
anybody
like to,
agrees with his politics or not. That's
well, we
not
like
the
to quote,
issue here.
We like to quote Paul the Apostle, and Paul was the one that said, if any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed.
Yeah. I tell you, it's on my tongue tonight. I'm telling you. And when I see the suffering of this man and his family, and those four boys, and his beautiful wife, and them suffering the way that they are, and while they're turning to the very vipers who have led to this destruction, to me is heinous. And to me, yes, it is just as heinous as the Ayatollah who's inflicting the injury on an entire country in Iran. They are inflicting this injury on this man and his family. And if we couldn't have come on the air at any other time with any two greater demonstrations of why I personally feel we deserve your financial support for this gospel. Because this is what religion is doing to people's lives individually. I am so brokenhearted that it had to be somebody of such a public stature, but in a way it's like, thank God it was somebody that we could see, because these people are falling like flies, Glenn, by the thousands around this country, by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands around this world through this plague of evangelical Christianity. And not only is that happening, on one hand, on the other hand, we have a nation who thinks a democracy is something of a shadow government that's ruled behind some religious idiot who is standing back and making all the rules and ruling over the military and giving all the orders. That's not a democracy.
You know, Tom Tomsky talked earlier about the survey where all these tens of thousands of Christians are falling by the wayside. This is the reason for it.
Absolutely.
Because not only are our political and religious leaders who are in the public falling prey to legalism, but the fact of the matter is that this is happening in the local churches and in individual people's lives as well. Nobody can live up to this.
Yeah.
It's intended to make us fail. That's what the law was given for.
Absolutely.
And it works. It works every time. And we're going to continue to see this as long as evangelicalism and legalism reigns.
You know, Bill Clinton was interviewed, and I'm not sure who did the interview, but they asked him what was his greatest moment as president. And, Glenn, you know what his response was?
No, I didn't see it.
His response was staying in office after he was impeached. He said that was his greatest moment. Now, let me tell you, I'll be honest with you about this. I didn't vote for Bill Clinton. I was a Reagan supporter beyond anybody's possible dreams. But I tell you what, I was so proud of that man when he said that his proudest moment was when he stayed in office in face of the impeachment based on the fact that he had had sex with a girl in the Oval Office. And I agreed. I think that was his greatest moment, absolutely, as president, because he stood in the face of religious bigotry, and not to value his presidency, whether you like his policies or not, he did not allow his presidency to go down based on the value of whether or not he had oral sex in the Oval Office or not. And he defied that and stayed in office based on what he was persuaded of his own political persuasion and his own view of government, and stayed in office for what he thought was the greater good. And,
well, of course, we've seen now the dissolution of the very party that impeached Clinton, the Republicans.
Absolutely, and not only the party, but the very people who stood in judgment of him.
Yes.
the very people who were the most vocal about his impeachment, which was one of them was the governor of South Carolina, who was then
and Newt
serving.
Gingrich.
Yes, in the House.
And we were attending a large Baptist church at the time here in the Tampa Bay area, and the pastor was very, very hard against his fellow Southern Baptist, Bill Clinton, during those years and during that time. And, of course, you guessed it, folks, it was just a matter of time until his own infidelity came to light.
Yep.
And he had to resign his post at this large and growing church.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about people being disillusioned coming out of that. Terrific guy, terrific speaker, very charismatic, but so harsh against Bill Clinton. And Jesus warned us. He said, if you are judge those guilty for doing the same thing that you're doing, you're hypocrites. And with the same judgment that you mete out, you will be judged. And it seems to work.
Well, it's been played out before us. That's for absolute sure. And the only place that Jesus ever passed judgment, if you will, was on the religious community. And that he spoke openly. He did not call those the prostitutes and adulterers of his day. He did not call them vipers. He called the self-righteous of his day vipers and snakes. He called them crap on a wall that had been covered up with white paint, to put it mildly. Paul called his own self-righteousness dung. This is what we see in all of this manifestation of evangelical Christianity right now. We're just seeing the crap of it. You're not seeing the body of it. You're not seeing what these people ingest. You're just seeing the crap that comes after. And this is the crap that comes after ingesting legalism for 30 years. This is what happens, Glenn. You can ingest it however long you want, but I guarantee you that every bite you take is going to come out crap. And I hate to be so graphic about it, but it's time that I don't know anything else to do except take the analogies that Jesus and Paul himself used to try to wake people up. If you want to stop getting the crap, stop eating the crap.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're obviously over our normal allotted hour because during the pledge drives we give 90 minutes because we spend a portion of the time asking you for your financial support. And that's what we're doing tonight with the spring and summer pledge drive. I would love to get another caller in as we're up live about a quarter after the hour here, another 15 minutes or so. And would love to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Those that are listening live, let us hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. Come on with on the line with Michael and let us know what you'll do to help us towards our goal of $12,500 over these next 21 days. We've had gifts from Tom Tomsky and Richard Mull totaling $700 so far. For gifts of $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new teaching series, a 6-CD series that Michael just concluded in Calgary, Canada, called In a Twinkling of an Eye, A View of History. And it's well worth it, whether it be a one-time gift of $100 or totaling $100. You can do it in a 12-month payment plan, however you want to do it. Really, the monthly giving is the lifeblood of this effort, and we need to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and do your best, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can count it towards our goal. 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. and webcast at gospelrevolution.com. Sean O'Halloran is waiting patiently to hear from you in our Tampa Bay studio. 1-800-436-3260. Well, on a macro level, we have religion gone awry in Iran. That's been on our television screens over almost, well over a week now with this election. And with the Ayatollah Khomeini there in Iran, Michael, thinking that he is the supreme leader, that he is God's mouthpiece for that nation. And we're seeing the fruit of religion played out in a much different way, just as destructive to individual people's lives, not to mention the entire nation of Iran. This could end up affecting the entire world, obviously, with Iran being the fifth largest supplier of oil in the world. And it's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. And for those of who are out there thinking that the problem is this is Islam, it's those Muslims, it's the fact that it's the Quran, and that if somehow we could replace that with Christianity and with the Bible and with Jerry Falwell, who we can no longer replace anybody with him, but I so appreciated it. There was one interview that I saw, and he said people think that this is just the result of Islam. He said, but it's the result of religion. He said, if the United States had placed Jerry Falwell in the same position that the Ayatollah was in, we'd be in the same position in the U.S. And I thought, yes, thank you for speaking the truth. Or Pat Robertson, or put anybody in the list that you want. There is no democracy when religion is in charge. That is not a democracy. And if Jerry Falwell had been in charge of this nation, the same as this Ayatollah has been for 30 years, we would be facing exactly the same thing that the nation of Iran is now facing. And no different, not an iota different, not one iota different. If you think that the people and the military and the special guard, whatever they call them, would be acting differently, you are sadly mistaken, because they would be doing exactly the same thing under the authority of a totalitarian Christian regime as they have been doing under a totalitarian Islamic regime.
No doubt.
Did I say that clear?
Yeah. The reason that this country's different is because we have a constitution.
Absolutely.
That is based on freedom.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Or the gospel, we could say.
Thank you, Jesus.
Talk a bit about your study and your understanding of the Constitution of the United States vis-a-vis the gospel.
Yeah, well, I had the privilege of meeting a man who was at the time a 31-year veteran of 30-year veteran of the FBI. And went on to be a 32-year veteran of the FBI, because there is no such thing as a 32-year veteran of the FBI, because 30 years is it. You go in, you serve 30 years, and you're out. But because of 9/11, they held him over 2 years because of his expertise that he held, which he was an attorney and held the position of attorney for the FBI, and taught everyone who went through the FBI, he taught them constitutional law. And this man, this very same man, came to hear me speak, had actually heard the series that I did in your living room, Glenn, The Redemption of the World, the 3-tape series entitled The Redemption of the World. And he told me from his own mouth that he listened. He had at least a four-hour journey, and he listened to those tapes as many times as he could on that four-hour journey, and he listened to them all the way back on that journey. And this man, when he came to hear me in person, came up to me, and he said, "Mr. Williams," he said, "I don't know if you know it or not, but you teach the Constitution of the United States." And I didn't know what in the world he was talking about, Glenn. And I asked him what he was talking about. And believe me, from there, for a couple of years after, did I ever get an earful of him explaining to me in detail over lunches, over dinners, in my home, in every situation that I could hope to have, his views of the Constitution and the gospel. And he and his wife had an incredible experience with the gospel and have settled completely in the comfort of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and totally separated from any implication of church membership or supporting an individual church or any ministry whatsoever. But here is a man who was the attorney for the FBI and taught law to every member that came through the FBI for many years. And he tells me that I am teaching, by sharing the gospel, I'm teaching constitutional law. It just blew me away. And
well, what is it about the Constitution that is so congruent with the gospel?
Well, the number one thing that is congruent with the gospel in the Constitution is the guarantee that all men are created equal in the sight of God, and the liberty and the freedom that we are given from the tyranny of government or rule of any kind over our lives. And that is what the power of the gospel is. The and I've said this before, and you have brought it out in interviews that we've done, even with Carlson Pearson, when we did that, when you quoted me and questioned me in front of Carlson about that, that Jesus, in one sense, had set us free from God, and that is the God, quote, of the Old Testament, that he truly did set us free from that God. And the power of our government is measured in its truest sense by the lack of interference from the government over our lives. And in the power of the gospel, the power of God is measured in our lives by the lack of interference from God, if you will. Now, I know that sounds off the charts to people, but the fact of it is that God views you as a mature son who has come into his full rights. You have been bar mitzvahed, if you will. And you have come into your full sonship in the eyes of God through the blood of his own son. And you've come to full rights and full responsibility and full freedom for yourself. And the lack of interference, which we constantly plead for from God on a daily basis, his lack of interference is the absolute vision and revelation of the power of this gospel, because now it's not God in heaven ruling over you, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this happened, well, maybe I should give a little commercial here. This happened, Glenn, in the twinkling of an eye 2,000 years ago through the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And because of that, what is the status of Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina, or the Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, or the Republican Guard in Iran, or Pat Robertson, or Jerry Falwell, or the pastor that I referred to earlier, who preached so hard against Clinton and then found himself in his own scandal of infidelity? What does God see when he looks at those people?
Should we include Bill Clinton in this?
We could include Bill Clinton in that. We could even include Michael Williams and Glenn Kline and Sean O'Halloran.
How about that? Yes, and here is the goodest of good news, and the news that gives us a common ground to come from, and that is the Ayatollah in Iran is righteous, perfect, and holy in the eyes of God. Those whom he is having executed and martyred, as they would say, died righteous, holy, and perfect in the eyes of God. And Mark Sanford is, because of the work of Jesus Christ, is perfect, even though he's still looking for that perfect heart. His heart is perfect in the eyes of God. He is upstanding. He is righteous and holy. And I just wish to God he would have known that over the last 30 years before now. And I hope that his children could be possibly trained to understand that they are righteous and holy and perfect, and his wife and Bill Clinton and Michael Williams and Glenn Kline and Tom Tomsky. It is Richard Moll. We could go on and on and on. Hitler, the Pope, whoever you want to include. Thank God, even if you and I cannot think to include them, Jesus already has, and included us all in the family of saints. You don't have to die to become a saint. All you got to do is be born. Catholics have got it all backwards. You don't die.
We might even say all you have to do is be conceived, perhaps.
Absolutely. All you got to do is be conceived, and you're a saint. You're from conception, you are a saint, and you will remain a saint throughout eternity. This is the most powerful, wonderful message that this planet has ever received, which is the reason that Tom Tomsky can walk his mail route every day delivering letters with a smile on his face, knowing that everybody that he delivers mail to is perfect and righteous and holy. And even as he said, the evangelical Christian doctrine doesn't have a leg to stand on. They don't even know what to say in the face of the slightest amount of truth. Well, I shouldn't call it slightest amount, because that sounds like that little bitty prayer that you pray to become righteous that so many people on TV are talking about. This is an amazing thing that has happened. And it happened, well, here we go again, in the twinkling of an eye, 2,000 years ago, through the power of fulfilled scripture, of fulfilled law, through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of one single human being called Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel. I mean, geez. We could shut down now.
Well, we just have to do that for this evening. But not before we encourage you folks to participate in the spring and summer pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution by going to your computers and clicking on gospelrevolution.com. Go to donations, make your best gift possible, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did. For gifts of $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new teaching series, the 6-CD series, in a twinkling of an eye, or in the twinkling of an eye, A View of History by Michael. It just got done in Calgary, Alberta. And we want to thank very much Tom Tomsky and Richard Mull for getting us off to a good start on this first night at $700. And they will be receiving their series, and we want to be able to send it out to you. So participate this week by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did. We want to also thank Greg Ambergy for filling in on this webcast, Sean O'Halloran. And, Michael, thank you for not holding anything back tonight.
Well, I tried, but I just couldn't.
Well, we will do it in one more week's time, and until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!